Well, I know I've mentioned this before, but I've been greatly blessed just by my study as we've been working through a number of different passages are related to encouraging the soul to trust in the Lord. I was encouraged last week. In fact, I wasn't happy how it turned out necessarily, but I was encouraged last week. Even we had a visiting couple, and they were passing through town, and they actually were planning to leave the Greenville area earlier, but they stayed throughout the day just so they could come last Sunday night because that couple had been listening to messages online on trust in the Lord. And especially the woman, the wife of the couple, in the situation I'm referring to, was so encouraged by the messages, she actually wanted to come and hear one live. And so it was kind of interesting. That was the one Sunday I swapped messages. And so she came thinking that we would cover that, and instead we were in Acts. But there again, we trust in the sovereignty of God that he works everything out. Well, this evening we're going to have a very simple message related to trust, because certainly it's hard for all of us to trust God, right? Even as Christians. There are times we get tired, we get wearied, we get worn out, we pull back. Sometimes we find ourselves being less active in serving the Lord than we used to be. And sometimes that even expands to not being less active, but inactive. And as we go through these very challenging times, we unfortunately withdraw from other believers, which makes it worse because the thing that we need, we're not getting at all. You say, Greg, what is it that we need? We all need fellowship. Fellowship is not optional for a Christian. We all need the encouragement of other brothers and sisters to help us to keep following the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard me use this as an illustration. Perhaps you would remember, if we were going to use sports as a parallel, Christianity is not an individual sport. It's a team sport. And I'm not saying it's a sport, but as the parallel goes, you would think of it as soccer. You can't play soccer alone. You would think of it as basketball. You can't play basketball alone. The game's not made to be played individually. Christianity was never designed to be an individual thing. Now, I want to be careful how I make this next statement. We sometimes talk about the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in a context, that's a good statement. We all do need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but that relationship was never intended to be lived out in isolation from other believers. Being part of a church is not an option. Coming together and fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters in Christ is something we need if we're going to really trust the Lord. I've entitled the message, a very simple devotional message, from a text that we've actually considered before, but I'd like to point out yet again. I've entitled the message, Trust, as we talk about the importance of fellowship. And we'll be looking at one verse in the Scriptures, and actually only one part of that verse, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Let's pray. Father, we ask as we would open up the Word this evening, that you would illumine our minds to the words that you've breathed out. Lord, help us to understand how important fellowship is. Not just so that we will realize how much we need it, even though we do, but so that we will realize how much our brothers and sisters need it. And that we would not only be recipients of fellowship as they would reach out to us, but that we would seek to encourage others as we would seek to minister fellowship to them in ways that would please you, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope again you're open to Acts chapter 2, and I'll read this one text of Scripture, verse 42. It says of these early believers that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Notice that phrase in verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves. It's basically one word. It's a word that means to spend much time in. It's a word that means to persevere in, to be devoted to, or to busily engage yourself in. There is something that should always occupy a significant chunk of meaningful time in the life of a believer. That's what verse 42 is saying. What are those things? Well, you'll notice here, it says that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. We could just call that the Bible. And certainly we have, through the years, put a large emphasis on the importance of all of us spending time reading God's Word. Many of us continue to read God's Word according to a plan, and which is a wonderful way to do it. We listen to sermons, both here as we meet together, and also many of you, myself included, listen to sermons online. It's a good thing to be continually devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. But notice what comes next, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. It says they were also continually devoting themselves to fellowship. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of fellowship? If I were just to say fellowship, what are some of the first thoughts that cross your mind? You might think in a church setting, sometimes we call a certain room a fellowship hall, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a place where frequently we have food, and we gather together, and we eat. Nothing wrong with that. Here at Trinity, we have every spring a spring fellowship where we come together and have a special day, a little bit of a special schedule. You say, what does the word fellowship really mean? It means to share. It means we have something in common. It's a word that has to do with unity, with having a relationship with someone. Okay? It's a word that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 of our salvation, of our Christianity. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, 9, God's faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is having fellowship with Jesus Christ. When you repented of your sin and you put faith in the gospel, you began to have a special relationship. You had something in common with Jesus Christ. You became brothers, siblings, however one would say that. In a similar way, we are to fellowship with one another. We fellowship with Christ, and then those of us who know Christ, we fellowship with one another. These are the two things that we're supposed to be really focused on, the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Now, you might be thinking, hey, Greg, there's four things in the verse, and you're only hitting two. That's accurate. Notice the verse again. I'm going to point something out. And this might vary a little bit with translation. 2:42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to, notice the wording, and it'll be a little different for some, and I realize that. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, comma, no and in my translation, simply to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Some people believe, and it may well be the case, that Paul is really focusing on two things in this verse. The early church is focused, Luke actually recording this, I misspoke, 2:42 Luke recording, that they were focused on God's word and they were focused on fellowship. And those should be the two main focal points of believers that we come together for the purpose of. Now, there are times when we're not together and we're out spreading the gospel, what have you. But we come together, what? To focus on the teaching of Scripture and fellowship. You say, well, then what else is going on in that verse? The breaking of bread and prayer. Those are the ways we fellowship. That's how we fellowship. And that's what I'd want to talk about tonight. See, if we're going to trust the Lord the way we should, we need to fellowship. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, here's our first of our two simple points tonight. Number one, we fellowship as we remember Christ together. That's the breaking of bread. That's communion. That's the Lord's table. All of those are accurate words, right? Now, when it says the breaking of bread, most people believe it would refer to what we're going to do tonight. We call it observing the Lord's table. Some people think maybe it's the idea that in the early church they would frequently come together and have a meal. They called it a love feast. They called it the agape. Probably it refers to both, because when they had the Lord's table, they did it as part of the agape, the love feast. So rather than either or, perhaps it's a reference to both here. The early church, the believers would come together and they would fellowship. How? They would share a meal, break bread, observe what we call the Lord's table. The point I want to make is, since it involved the Lord's table, what were they focusing on? They were thinking about Jesus Christ. You're familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 through 17. Paul writes, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" What was he talking about? We're all coming together and we're sharing. We're fellowshipping with one another. And what are we focused on? We're focused on Jesus Christ. We're focused on him shedding his blood for us. We're focused on him dying on a cross for our sins. And then, of course, he goes on, "Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." What do we need? We need fellowship. How do we fellowship? We fellowship as we remember Christ together. And that certainly includes observing the Lord's table, but I want to just go a little broader than that. It's not limited to the Lord's table. To follow Christ, you need encouragement. You need the encouragement of your brothers and sisters. We need to be getting together and encouraging one another, whatever that looks like. That might be, right, going out for a cup of coffee. And that's a wonderful thing to do with the brother or sister. Just get together, and maybe you're discouraged. Maybe your brother or sister is discouraged. And you would just, if you like coffee, meet for coffee or for breakfast or for lunch. And maybe that other person is burdened, and you would just listen. And listen to that woman or that man just share with you what they're struggling with. And yet, even as you listen, and as you pray, and as you talk, and you spend time, can I suggest that part of that conversation would be talking about Jesus Christ? That would be a very normal thing. And not that everything that comes out of our mind has to be quoting a scripture verse, not in some way that seems artificial or fake. But the idea of, if you were really going through a hard time and maybe you and I went out for coffee or vice versa, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I struggle less than you. Maybe I'm going through a hard time and you would take me out for coffee, which some of you have done, and I greatly appreciate that. And then we would just talk. And in the general course of conversation, it would be a very normal thing to share. Isn't it wonderful that even with all of the challenges, the health challenges, the financial challenges, the circumstantial challenges that we're going through, that we still can be convinced that God loves us because Jesus died on a cross for us, and we never have to doubt his love for us? And maybe something that simple, it's maybe you sharing a verse. You say, "You know, I was reading recently in my Bible and I came across a text, or I was listening to a sermon and I heard a verse and I just thought I could share it with you." And you would read a verse and we would talk a little bit about Christ. And I would kind of get back on target, you know. It's kind of like I reset my compass spiritually, because I was struggling to trust Christ, but you helped me. That would be fellowship. So we fellowship, number one, as we remember Christ together. There are people in our congregation who are struggling, and they're discouraged. And sometimes, again, it's health, sometimes it's relationship, sometimes it's circumstantial. There are many things people struggle with, and you have an opportunity to encounter that person in whatever way that the Lord would allow. And I would like to think that part of that would be talking about Jesus Christ. That's part of fellowship. Number one, we fellowship as we remember Christ together. Number two, Notice what the text says, Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to what? The apostles' teaching and the fellowship. What does fellowship involve? It involves talking, thinking, focusing on Jesus Christ. That's the breaking of bread, number one. Number two, it involves prayer. The Bible has much to say about early Christians being devoted to prayer, right? Acts 1:14, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. We read that about the early believers. I think you remember what happened when there was a little bit of a scuffle, hard feelings in the early church, which obviously happens still today. The apostles, what? They selected some men to take care of the widows who allegedly were being neglected, but then they said, Acts 6:4, notice, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So this very important emphasis on prayer and the word, and maybe one verse out of Acts would help, Romans chapter 12, verses 11 and 13. Paul writes, of not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, here it is, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. How do we fellowship? We fellowship as we pray together. See, at times I find it hard to follow Christ. What do I need? I need fellowship. What does that fellowship consist of? It consists of prayer. Because, see, when I come together, like tonight, at a worship service, we have times of corporate prayer. And that can encourage me. Because when I hear somebody praying, hopefully, I'm thinking about what they're praying about. And as they pray to the Lord, I'm thinking about the Lord. And as a person is praying and rejoicing in Christ, it's reminding me of what Christ has done for me. So sometimes it's corporate, and we fellowship as we pray together. Sometimes it's more in a small group, like we do on Wednesday nights. I was so encouraged. I don't want to be overly specific, but he was a blessing to me. I was talking recently to an individual, a guy, we'll just call him a guy. And he was hanging out a little bit late. I could get a sense that maybe he's waiting to talk to me. So I went over and talked to him. He had something to ask me. So we talked a few minutes. And I just casually said, hey, thanks for coming on Wednesday nights. And he looked at me and he said, well, I want you to know that in the past I might not have come. I said, really? I said, what's up? Why the change? And he said basically something like this. Well, Greg, I never realized how many people have needs. But we've been reminded at Trinity that one of the ways to love other people is by showing up on Wednesday and spending time praying with them. So even though sometimes it's a hassle to come, these are my words, not exactly how he said it, I realize this is my way to serve people. And now he comes regularly on Wednesdays. And that's not a bad on you if you don't come on Wednesdays. Because if you're convinced you can bring God more glory by staying home on Wednesdays or doing something else, that's what you need to do. But I'm making the point that there are Christians who are struggling to trust Jesus Christ, and they need fellowship. And I'm not saying watching a ball game together is not a good thing, but they need prayer. They need to pray with other Christians. And one way, it's only one way, one way we can pray together is by coming together on Wednesday night. But guys, it doesn't have to involve this building, right? This week, I'll get together and meet a brother for coffee, and I'll go out and meet someone else for lunch later on. It's just a normal part of a week for many of us. When you meet someone for coffee, breakfast, lunch, to do something fun, this morning in the lobby, I was trying to think of illustrations for tonight. I heard a couple of guys talk about shooting. They like to go shooting together. And then I heard a number of other guys talking about golfing. They enjoy golfing together, at least so it seems. Would it be possible that going shooting, going golfing, going for coffee would involve prayer? And I don't mean necessarily praying before you begin, because some of you that golf are thinking, Greg, I pray like crazy, it's not working. Okay, that's not, I'm not talking about how many strokes or whatever. But wouldn't it be a very normal thing for you that if you met with a brother or sister for coffee, that after you guys were finished drinking coffee or finished golfing or whatever you do, that you would just say, you know, I really enjoyed meeting with you. Can we pray a little bit? Is there anything special that I could pray for you about? And that brother, that sister would say, well, actually, you know, there's some physical challenges going on. Or I don't really talk about it much, but I have a child who, I don't even know that he's saved. I have a mom or a dad I used to think was a believer. I don't think so anymore. And this is really, really, it's just hard. And you would have the opportunity at the coffee shop on the putting green. I guess maybe not on the green, huh? Because it'd be after you're finished. I guess what? At the clubhouse or wherever you go at the end. Maybe the parking lot if that's where you end golf at. At the shooting range, you would have the opportunity to say, can I pray with you? Just a little bit. And you would take the time to pray, Lord, thank you for the time that we've had coffee, gone golfing, gone for a walk, what have you, jogging. And Lord, my brother here is really burdened for his daughter. My sister is really burdened for her job. This couple's really burdened for their neighbor or for parents or for this financial, whatever it is. And you would just right then bow your head and pray for your brother and sister in Christ. And maybe that would do more than you realize. I vividly remember when I was first saved, remember, I was raised in a Catholic church. So going to the Catholic church is like going to Walmart. You're in the same place, but you don't really hang out, you know? You kind of go in, do your thing, go home, wave at people, and that's it. So when I first became a believer, here I am at gospel preaching churches filled with believers in Jesus Christ. And I'm finding out that at least there are some people who really care about me. I can still remember, and it was a long time ago, having people come up to me and saying, Greg, do you have any prayer requests? And I would go, yeah, I got a big test. And then hearing a gentleman say, I'll pray for you. Occasionally, could we pray right now? And he would bow his head. And we would pray. And I would think, what a blessing that somebody actually prayed for my English test or my history test or whatever the case might be. And that encouraged me. See, that's what's going on with this word fellowship. I'm not suggesting it cannot involve golf or shooting. I'm not suggesting it can't involve watching an NBA playoff game. But wouldn't it be just a normal thing that even if we got together to watch an NBA playoff game, that at the end, before you head out, that we would say to one another, hey, anything special we could pray about? And then maybe even have a brief word of prayer. You say, Greg, what is that called? That's called fellowship. We fellowship as we remember Christ together. We fellowship as we pray together. There are people in this assembly who are struggling in great ways. Great ways. There are people that are facing challenges that they tell no one about, but inside they're hurting deeply. And you have an opportunity to encourage them to continue to follow Jesus Christ. You say, how? By being continually devoted to fellowship, which means hanging out, spending time with them, asking them questions, and sometimes giving no advice at all, but just listening to their story. Find out what they're struggling with. And as you would have opportunity to say a word or two, reminding them about how wonderful Jesus is. And you say, and Greg, and like, I don't know a whole lot of verses and everything. What if I don't know what to say? You could always say what you just said. I don't know what to say, but I'm praying for you. Yesterday, I saw some of you at a receiving line at a funeral. You say, what did I say to person after person as I walk through a line and here's family members that are going through a very challenging time of an unexpected death? I'm sorry. This must be very hard. I'm praying for you. And then to the next person, same thing. You say, what do you say? I'm praying for you. And then you pray. And then, of course, as time would go on, follow up, hey, if you ever want to get together and talk, let me know. You can have that ministry. It's not optional. It's something that you need to receive. It's something that you need to give. We do it corporately. We're going to do that tonight around the Lord's table in just a moment. We could be doing that individually as well. Simple message. Very pointed. What's our conclusion? We need fellowship. We fellowship as we remember Jesus Christ together. And number two, we fellowship as we pray together.